Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Here's the truth about revival. This is the need of the hour. We desperately need a revival. We desperately need in the churches across the nation and around the world, a fresh sense of the power of God. There are people all over this land that are desperate. They don't know that there's a God who loves them. They've never heard his voice. They've never experienced his power. In many cases, they've never heard the message of the gospel.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, in a message titled, The Outpouring of the Spirit. Now here's Pastor Brian.
They end up opening themselves up to counterfeit experiences that really neither glorify God nor do they in the end bless or benefit man. So these are the two extremes, and we need to avoid both of these extremes. We need to avoid the extreme that says, no, unless you got a chapter or verse, God's not speaking to you. But we also need to avoid the extreme where there's all kinds of sort of just like insanity going on and somebody saying, hey, yeah, that crazy thing that's happening, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. A person that's doing that totally weird stuff that's freaking everybody out, yeah, that's the Spirit moving. No. That's not. But you see, that's what happens. You get the two extremes. What we need to understand is that the Spirit, now remember, and I think sometimes we forget this about the Spirit. Some people forget this. The Spirit, you know, here's the simple dichotomy that we exist, that exists within the church. You've got churches that are word-oriented, and you've got churches that are Spirit-oriented. And you know, and that's the boast. You know, some say, well, man, we're into the word. That's us. We're people of the word. Others are like, well, man, we're people of the Spirit. But guess what? The Spirit is the author of the word. Let's not forget that. So if you have a true move of the Spirit, it's going to be consistent with the word. And if you really are believing with what the word says, you're going to have an expectation of the moving of the Spirit. So it's not one or the other. It is both things, the word and the Spirit. The Spirit works, of course, in unison with what he's already declared in his word, and we will experience the fullness of what God has declared to us in his word as we really let the Spirit lead. So what is the word telling us right now? The word is talking to us about visions and dreams and prophecy. And the word talks to us about other things as well. Talks to us about words of wisdom and knowledge and healing and the miraculous. And so those are the words that were inspired by the Spirit. So the Spirit is going to bring to pass what he has declared in his word. He's not going to go beyond the boundary of his word. He's not going to in any way dismiss or dishonor his word. And so the promise is, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they, my people, shall prophesy. You see, the church of Jesus Christ, we are the people of the word and the Spirit. That's how we should be recognized. We're the people of the word and the Spirit. All God's people are to be prophets. Maybe you remember this situation back in the Old Testament, and there was this time where, you know, Moses was overwhelmed with the task, and so the Lord said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on others to help you. And there were a couple of people that Joshua apparently thought their attitude wasn't right, and he didn't feel like they deserved to have that empowering, but God poured his Spirit upon them anyway. And so Joshua comes to Moses and he sort of registers that complaint. He says, you know, these two men, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. And Moses says, oh, Joshua, are you jealous for me? And then he said this, he said, I would to God that all God's people were prophets. And you know what Moses sort of longed for at that point? You know, if everybody was a prophet, my job would be so much easier. If everybody heard the Lord and responded to the Lord, that would be wonderful. What Moses longed for is what is happening now that the Spirit has come. And so as the Lord pours out his Spirit, as we read here, in those days they shall prophesy. So all of us are to be those people that are filled with the Spirit and in tune with the Spirit, and that the Spirit might speak through us. So we don't want to get caught in that trap of it's one or the other. No, it's both things. And let me just tell you a quick story about a friend who was telling me this story last week, just to illustrate the fact that prophecy is alive and well today among God's people. So I'm talking to a friend, and I've known him for a long time, and I know about his ministry, and we've had conversations over the years about kind of the vision that he has and what he believes the Lord wants him to do. And it has to do with a building. And he, you know, wants to obtain a building that he can kind of set up a base of operation from. And he's got all this vision to do outreach and concerts and, you know, just all kinds of different things, you know, and obviously he needs a lot of space. And over the years, because he does have a powerful ministry, there have been a few ultra wealthy people that have come along and said, hey, I you know, it's on my heart. I want to buy a building for you. But then as the conversation goes, they start talking about the details and so forth. He said, you know, and I knew of two of these former incidents. He said that it was always kind of, there were strings attached. And he said, I just never really felt a peace. So he just kind of put it on the back shelf and was just waiting on the Lord. But he told me last week, he said, you know, I've really been praying again about that place. I still feel so strongly that we need a place that we can kind of just set up as our base of operation. So he said, here's what happened. So last week, I met this group of people, and I know this girl, and her cousin came along. She was from Alabama, and she just in the course of our conversation with the group, she stepped up to me and said, could I talk to you privately for a minute? And so he said, sure. So she started talking to him. She said, the Lord has shown me that he's going to give you a building. And he knows the desires of your heart and all of the things that you've been praying about. He's gonna give that to you. And so there's a man that's going to approach you, and he's going to tell you that he wants to donate this building to you. And this is what the Lord's giving you. And it's a brick building. I just see it clearly. It's a brick building. Now, he's telling me this story, and he says, in his mind, he's thinking, okay, this girl is crazy. Who is this girl? I've never met her before. And she's telling him everything that's been stirring in his heart. And she says, I'm telling you, you know. And he said, she's from Alabama. So he said, it was a little bit hard to understand a lot of what she was saying. So could you say that again? What, you know. Finally, he got the message. So anyway, that was it. She left. That was it. They had a, you know, 5-minute encounter. Never seen her before. Never met her before. She tells him all of that. So 2 days later, he goes to do this outreach thing. And afterward, this guy comes up to him. And he said, this is like the most ordinary looking guy imaginable. You know, there's nothing about this guy that would lead you to think that he was rich or that he had influence or that he could do anything. And the guy walks up and says, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? And so he says, yeah, sure. He has no idea what the guy wants to talk about. And so the guy says, you know, I've been following your ministry for years. I've been praying for you. I really believe in your vision. And I've got this building, and I want to give it to your ministry. And so he's looking at him like, wait, how does this guy have a building? It doesn't even look like he maybe has a house, or, you know, he was just like, and the guy says, yeah. And so come to find out, this guy, you know, has like built all of these amazing buildings and remodeled all these historic places. So anyway, the guy says to him, he says, hey, I'd love to take you over and show you the building. Can we go over on such and such a day? So he says, sure. So they get in the car, they go, they meet there or whatever. They pull up, and he said, there it is, this amazing brick building right there in front of him. And the guy says, this is it. I've just had a vision that I want to donate this to your ministry. That's prophecy. That girl from Alabama who had never seen my friend before, she had a prophetic word. See, those are the things that we should expect. Now, listen, the miraculous is never an end in itself. And this is one of the problems that you have when you get into, you know, sometimes in churches where they're emphasizing prophecy and the miraculous, but it kind of just stops there. It's never an end in itself. These things are always a means to the end of proclaiming the gospel. You see, when the people come to Peter and they say, "What is this?" Peter says, "Well, I'll tell you what it is. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. These are the last days." And he quotes from Joel. And then from there, where does he go? He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth." So you see, the miraculous becomes a launching pad for the gospel to be proclaimed. And even in the quote from Joel, notice in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So these things, these miraculous things, they do three things. Number one, they glorify God. God is glorified in this. You know, the Spirit has come upon them. Remember, they're praising God for his wonderful works. They edify the people of God. God's people are blessed and edified and encouraged through that. You can be absolutely certain that these 120 upon whom the Spirit fell, they were strengthened and encouraged and edified through that. But then thirdly, again, the gospel proclamation resulting in salvation proceeds from the miraculous. So, and this has always been true. Jesus performed miracles for two reasons. Number one, to bless the people that he performed the miracle on. And number two, as his credential, so that people would believe that he was the Savior. When Jesus sent the disciples out into the world, he said, "Go preach the gospel." And he said, "These signs will accompany you." So the signs were there to give support to the message that was preached. But my point is this, these things are always about getting the message out. They're not just for the believers to enjoy, although there is that element of that, but these things are for the getting out of the message. Now, this was the day of Pentecost, as we've already noted. Here's a question. Can we have another Pentecost? Is there a need for another Pentecost? Well, the answer to that is no, because the day of Pentecost was a unique event in history, not to be repeated again. It was the day when the Spirit descended and empowered the church, and so it was done then. So there is no repeating of Pentecost, but what we call revival is, in many ways, it's really an attempt to get back to the similar kind of experience that they experienced at Pentecost. And so, although we can't go back and repeat Pentecost, we can experience a revival. Now, we talk about revival at times. What is revival? Well, I'll just give you one definition. I could give you many, but I'll give you this one because I think it's a good, simple, concise definition. A revival is an unusual visitation of God in which a whole community becomes vividly aware of God's immediate and overpowering presence. That's what a revival is. Now, again, you see it harkens back to what happened on Pentecost. Everybody knew that day that God was at work. This was a supernatural manifestation of the power of God. And that's what revival is. It's an unusual visitation. It's a time when there is just an obvious presence of the Lord. You see God working through large numbers of people coming to faith in Christ through these kinds of gifts and visions and dreams and all of this stuff. All of this stuff begins to be manifested during a time of revival. Now, here's the truth about revival. This is the need of the hour. We desperately need a revival. We desperately need in the churches across the nation and around the world a fresh sense of the power of God. This is what we need. You know, our country's in bad shape. You know, our country is a mission field. It's a mission field like maybe it's not been in a long time. I mean, it always has been to some degree, right? But it's a mission field. There are people all over this land that are desperate. They don't know that there's a God who loves them. They've never heard his voice. They've never experienced his power. In many cases, they've never heard the message of the gospel. I ran into a friend this morning, and he just came back from Louisiana and was telling me that he's involved in law enforcement down there. He said one of the most heartbreaking things is you got all of these kids, 12 years old, 14 years old, 16 years old. You got all these kids that are wanting to kill themselves. They're attempting suicide. They're throwing themselves out in front of cars and things like that because they feel that there's no hope. There's no reason to go on living. It's a desperate, desperate situation. And that's happening in lots of places, right? How do you even deal with that? What do you do about that? How can that be reversed? This is how. This is what the gospel does. The gospel goes and brings hope to those people who are hopeless. And so this is what happens. The Spirit comes upon us and empowers us and gives us that heart to go and accompanies that going and that gospel message with this, the sense that God is at work, with prophecy and visions and dreams and words of wisdom and knowledge and supernatural healings and those kinds of things. So let's not have a Christianity where it's just all information. We just get tons of information in our heads and then we just sit on it. God's word is not to just settle us into comfort. It's to fire us up and to motivate us and to give us vision to get out there with the message. And so the great need of the hour is for a great work of the Spirit like we're reading about here. And so here's the question as we close. What should we do? What should we do? And let me answer it by looking at what they did. So this is what they did. Three things. Number one, they waited obediently. But I want to put the emphasis on obedience. You see, they waited for this. Why? Because Jesus told them to. So they were obedient. And that's something that we have got to ask ourselves as well. Are we obedient? You know, obedience translates into God's blessing on our lives. Obedience translates into me experiencing the power and the working of the Spirit. You know, as I obey the Lord, as I say yes to the Lord, you know what happens? I become more and more sensitive to his Spirit. And the more sensitive I am to his Spirit, the more I'm potentially going to be used by God, because I can hear, sense, feel when the Spirit is speaking and wanting me to go in a direction. So we've got to be obedient. Secondly, we see in the context that they sought God sincerely. All of this happened, this mighty rushing wind sound and the cloven tongues of fire upon their heads. All of this happened as they were gathered together, all of them in this upper room seeking the Lord. They were all there together seeking the Lord. This is the second question. Are we seeking the Lord sincerely? Are we really seeking him out? Are we really seeking his will? Or have we settled into, you know, like I know enough about his will. I've done enough. I'm doing enough. Are we actually at a place where we're seeking God? You know, what do you want from my life? I'm seeking you. I mean, we see the massive need, right? How does the need get met? Well, generally, God meets it by sending his people to meet it. So are we seeking him to find out what his will is? Are we asking him to really speak into our lives and to guide us? And then the third thing that we note here, it says this twice. It says that they were together in one accord. They lived in harmony with one another. And here's what one thing that we need to realize. Church unity is an important thing. Because when God pours out his spirit, it's never just upon one church. You know, sometimes we're like, Lord, bless us. Bless this right here, us. And, you know, we don't care about anybody else. But Lord, just we want your blessing. But it doesn't work that way. There's never been a revival in the history of the church that hasn't affected the church in a very broad sense. It's never been limited to one church. It's never been limited to one denomination. And it's never been limited to one movement. When God pours out his spirit, it overflows and it touches everybody. And so since we know that that is what happens when God pours out his spirit, that God loves everyone and God sees us all as one, and that's why he pours the spirit out on all of us. Since that's the case, we ought to think about that now. And as we pray, we ought to be praying, Lord, pour out your spirit. On us, yes, but on those guys down the road too. And on that other group over there. Lord, pour out your spirit as far and wide as you can, because your people need revived and all of your people need revived. And it's through your people being revived that the world is going to be changed, that things are going to get better. So those three things, obedience, sincerely seeking God, and living in harmony with one another. And as we do these things, as we seek the Lord, we can expect, remember that. What are the last days about? Well, let's not get hung up on the, oh, it's all about apostasy. It's all about everybody falling away from the faith. So then I become like a heresy hunter and got to find out who's falling away from the faith, so I can write about it on the internet and warn everybody. Now, forget that. It's a waste of time. We have a job to do. And we are to live in expectation of the outpouring of God's Spirit, because that's what's going to happen in the last days. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. So I'm believing and praying for another great outpouring of the Spirit. And let's all of us believe for that and pray for that together.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource.
So, Brian, we're offering a book from our good friend Charlie Campbell.
Yes, Charlie Campbell is the director of Always Be Ready, which is an apologetics ministry and
one we recommend a lot.
Yeah, we recommend it a lot. And this is a one-minute answer to skeptics. Now, Charlie has done this book, and this is like a revised version answering 50 of the top objections and questions, kind of current things. You know, things change over time. There are different arguments and things. And what I like about this book is it's an updated, current, addressing a lot of the things that people are kind of throwing out there today as their objections to Christianity.
And some of the topics that Charlie covers in this is, why doesn't God just appear to us in a public setting and prove he exists? Or the New Testament authors, did they steal details of Jesus' life story from other ancient religions? This is what some skeptics say. Or that the God of the Old Testament commanded the Israelites to commit genocide. Or that the Bible condones slavery. So these are real issues in our society today. And Charlie tells you a biblical answer for these things. And it's great.
Yep. So great little one-minute answer to skeptics by Charlie Campbell. That's our offer for this month.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by Charlie Campbell. You can order the book 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by going to our website, brianbrodersen.uk. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by Charlie Campbell, to help equip you to defend the faith. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Songs of the Saints. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.